Hey, today we've already said that it is vision. Now, if you can tell from the kicked projector, from the ball hit projector, it does say the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. So that is the definition of vision. Now, if you've been with us for a while, you'll know that we do vision every February. It has been our vision month. But we're going to do it a little bit different this year. It's going to be just a little bit different. It's not going to be focused all around church vision. And in fact, we're going to talk about vision for your life, your family, your marriage, and the church. And so, what is vision? What is vision in the sense that we talk about it like this? The vision in the sense that we talk about it is building a picture in your mind, in your imagination, a picture of the future, the desired future that you want to build, the desired future that you're going to work towards. In the flesh sense, in the non-Christian sense, how vision works is that it motivates your short-term and medium-term behaviors in order to achieve that desired outcome. It ensures that you've got a perspective of what's important. See, if you're standing in the middle of the road and there's a speed bump, right, and you've got your vision down, the speed bump looks really big. But if you've got your vision up, you realize that it's not a big problem, right? And so it gives us perspective on what's a big issue and what's a small issue. If that vision is big enough, it's contagious. Other people will want to get around your vision. And it's contagious within your own soul. You want to achieve it. It drives you to be ambitious. And it also becomes the measure of your success. It becomes the measure that you hold yourself to of whether you're achieving that or not. So today, I want to talk about your personal vision. Like every message, I'm going to start with a story. So this story rewinds about 15 years. I'm 18 years old, and you can imagine at 18 years old, I still had hair. It was great. It was awesome. I couldn't yet grow a beard, so it was just hair, no beard. We don't have a photo because that's probably the most embarrassing thing. Anyway, I had a vision, a personal vision for my life. And this vision was born out of being a part of the church for a while now. I saw that the church wasn't rich, wasn't abounding in financial blessing. Right? And particularly for our church, if you know our history, our church has, for the last many years, lost money. And so, and by lost, I don't mean we just like left it around and forgot where it was. I mean that we didn't have enough income to cover the expenses. And so at the time, I was very upset. And I felt like, God, your house has to be provided for. So this vision, this desire in me, it birthed an idea for a business. And we had this idea for a business at the time and thought, okay, here's our way to approach this business. We're going to build an app, and we went and got development costs for an app and how we were going to plug it in and do all of the things we needed to do. And we're going to approach businesses as to provide them a service through this app. And so I started approaching businesses, and my father and I, we started getting quotes for the app, and we got development costs and all of that sort of stuff. And so this vision was driving, I'm going to build a business, and that business is going to give to the church. The business is going to ensure that the church isn't struggling for money all the time. And this personal vision empowered my actions. I wanted to drive towards this. It motivated all of the short-term and medium-term behaviors. It gave me this perspective of like, okay, what's important is that the church has to be provided with funds. It gave me this contagious thing that the family was like, hey, let's go do this. Let's do this. And it became the measure of the success. It became like, hey, I'm gonna achieve this. And if I don't achieve this, it's a failure. And if I do achieve it, it's a success, right? At that time, we were serving in youth ministry. We were youth pastors. And we were serving all the time, you know, every Friday night, kicking balls into projectors, blaming it on kids' church. You know, like it was, we were just having fun, right? That there's holes in the walls that still haven't been repaired properly because of us, right? But We were having a laugh and we were having fun and we were serving God and it was awesome. But I was driven and motivated to this goal. Every single door to this goal got slammed shut in my face. The development cost to do this app that we wanted to do was 5 times higher than we thought it would be. The businesses that we wanted to approach to provide the service kept slamming the door in our faces. Every door closed. And every door in ministry opened. More and more and more. Even the jobs we didn't want to do started God going, hey, you got to do this. Hey, God, Daniel, Meg, you got to do this. You got to do this. And what I realized is that I had confused desire for calling. I had confused this desire of mine to not see the church, you know, broke for God's calling in my life and God's vision and purpose for my life. See, the difference is when it's God's vision, it empowers us. It gives us a godly perspective. It's contagious. And it becomes a partnership with God, no longer our measure of success. See, God's vision for your life and your vision for your life are two different things sometimes, unless you've already adopted God's vision. So I want to ask this question today. Is your current vision for your life God's vision or your own? Is your current vision yours or God's? Just sit with that for a second and kind of mull over it. We're going to open up scripture. So if you want to grab your Bible out, we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 15 and we're going to read all of it, but we'll section it out a little bit so that we get a little break. This is a little bit of context, is that Abraham was worldly successful. He'd strived for his own vision and he'd achieved his own vision. Abraham had quite a lot of possessions. But Abraham longed for a child. He had no one to give his legacy over to. And so this is now a conversation with God and Abraham. And it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. This is point one, is that when it's God's vision, it's empowering. When it is God's vision, God has to do it. God has to empower that vision. It's not born out of this motivation or ambition. Yes, Abram has a need, but God says, I'm doing this. I will empower this. It's a miracle that only God can do. We know that God is the giver of life, and so it is a miracle only God can do. It then says, He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. The second point is that it will bring God's perspective. See, my vision of the church, my personal vision that I'd built of the church not being poor any longer, and this desire that I'd built in my life, right, wasn't born out of a God perspective. Because a God perspective in that matter would be, serve me and I will provide for my church. The God perspective in that would be that God's church will not fail. That God says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's God's provision, not my provision. I'm not going to be the one to change that. And so I had my big perspective, but God wanted a bigger one. God's perspective in God's vision. Then it says, He also said to him, I am the Lord who who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and take possession of it. Contagious. The promised land, that promise that God gave spurred on Israel for thousands of years later. Today, this is a still contested piece of land. We see war going on right now. This vision has spurred people on so contagiously. We move to the next verse. But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" So the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer, a goat or a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." And Abram brought all of these to him, cut them in two and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, were not cut in half. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. This is talking about slavery in Egypt. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go on to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set in the darkness and the darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces, that is, the pieces of the animals. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites." I'm going to mess all of those up. The point is that God partnered with Abraham. That God partnered with Abraham. See, when it is your own vision, sure, it'll motivate short and long-term behaviors. Sure, it'll be the perspective of what you think is important. Sure, it'll be contagious if it's big enough. And it'll become your measure of success. But when it is God's vision, it empowers. It gives God's perspective, not your own. Yes, it's still contagious, but it becomes a partnership with God, not success. It's not about what you achieve, but becomes about how you follow God. So I want to ask the question, is your current vision yours or God's? When all of the business stuff that we chased down failed, I was heartbroken. I was disheartened that I thought that this was a God vision. I thought that this was totally, you know, God. And I remember praying about it and saying, "God, like, I'm chasing your vision. Why is this all shutting down? I'm chasing something for your kingdom." And God said, "You're not. You're chasing your one, your will." And like, what I wanted wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but it wasn't birthed out of God. It wasn't birthed out of prayer. It wasn't birthed out of the Holy Spirit saying, "Daniel, this is what I want you to do." Craig and Chris approached us around that same time and said, "Hey, we were going to retire at 65 roughly. Do you want to take on the church?" And our answer was absolutely not. That sounds like way too much pressure. Way too much to do. I don't want to do that. We went away and we prayed about it. And the words that God then used from there all the way on were, "I've got you exactly where I want you." Every time that we questioned whether this was the right thing to do, the word of God, "I've got you exactly where I want you." God position. Not me. Every time I thought I was unqualified, and I am unqualified, trust me. I haven't finished my studies yet. I'm unqualified. God said, "I've got you exactly where I want you. It's my church, not yours." We're going to read a second story where this exact same pattern comes out. Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read verse 13 to 19. The context here is that the Pharisees were always arguing about who Jesus was. And so in this argument, there's been arguments happening all around. And so Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And he says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, shall not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit here, promises to Peter that he'll empower him. Jesus gives Peter a perspective so large that it outlives Peter's life by 2,000 years. It's so contagious that that message is still alive today in the heart of every single believer and every single church that declares Jesus is Lord. And God, it is right here, God, partnering with us. Jesus commits to Peter, and later Peter commits to Jesus. And we see that Jesus empowers Peter and all of the disciples to take the kingdom of heaven to the world. So I want to ask you again, is your current vision yours or God's? Does your current vision require the empowerment of God? If not, it's probably not from him. Does your current vision focus on the kingdom of God or the kingdom of me? Does your current vision spark a passion inside of you that you just can't contain? Does your current vision come from God or from yourself? Prayerfully, I want to ask these simple questions. What did God create man for? And we know that when we see in Genesis that God created man for relationship with him. And if you're failing to find vision in your life, maybe you don't even have your own personal vision. Or maybe you've got a personal vision that's not from God, it's just from you. Let me tell you that that vision has to center around and has to shift towards what you were created for. The purpose of your being. And that is relationship with God. It is what all mankind was created for. And then out of that relationship, what does God ask you to do? Now, for some of you, that might be a business. You actually might have the calling that I thought I had. You actually might have God's vision to build a business to supply to the church. Hey, awesome. As long as it comes from God. As long as it's not your own. It has to come out of God. God, what do you want me to do? With every eye closed and every head bowed. If today, when I've asked that question, is your current vision yours or God's, you answered that it was yours, that it was you, then we're going to pray for you right now. God, I pray that you take off my vision and give me your vision. God, that you give me what you want to do. Lord, I remember right now and I commit that I was totally designed for a relationship with you. born for relationship with you. And God, I'm sorry for anything that I've tried to make out of it, any vision that didn't come from you. And Lord, I pray that today you spark in me a passion that only can come from you, not my own vision. Lord, transform me into your likeness, surrendered to you and not surrendered to my own way. Amen. If today you answered those questions wholeheartedly with, it was God's vision, then I just want you to ask God, what's my next step in serving your vision? What do I do next? That's all. If you're already serving God's vision, awesome. That's great. A pastor, most of you will probably know him, Pastor Bronson, and he's going to come and preach for us in July. It's going to be awesome. Pastor Bronson runs Elevation Campus over in Sunshine, Melbourne West Church, and their church is awesome, doing great things. And Bronson's a really close friend of ours. And Bronson said to me once, he goes, I'm a firm believer of just doing what God told you to do last. If he told you to do that, keep doing it until he tells you to do something else. Okay? If you're serving God, well, maybe it's ask next steps and maybe God just says, hey, keep doing what I told you to do. If you don't have a vision today, then I want you to pray. There's no substitute for the presence of God. I want you to pray, worship, read your Bible and say, God, give me a vision for my life. Tell me what you want to do. Give me your purpose. Give me your vision, your desire for the future, and I'll surrender to you and serve your vision. God, we thank you today that we are so appreciative that you would even use us to achieve what you want to do. God, that who are we that you would partner with us? God, we thank you for that opportunity to be a part of the tapestry of the kingdom that you're building, a part of what you want to do. And Lord, we just today humbly surrender to your will. God, have your way in our lives, not our own. Lord, we pray and we thank you that no matter what, no matter whether it's achieved or not achieved in our lifetimes, the Lord, we're just so grateful to be in your presence and serving your will and your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.